He's alive. I talked to him this morning. I felt him when I come in this place. I felt him in my house this morning. He woke me up today. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 24, the last chapter of the book of Luke. Yeah. You might as well get in and help me preach this morning. If you're not, it's going to be a long 30 minutes. I want to say we're glad to have Mary and her other son and the other one and glad to have our visitors this morning. Just feel, get right in. We come to worship the Lord this morning. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. Come to worship Him today. He's been good. In Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 50. Luke chapter 24 and verse 50. The Bible says, and He led them out as far as to Bethany. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I've told you in the past that there's nothing in Scripture that's there by coincidence. I first see here that He took them, led them out as far as to Bethany. Now, Bethany is about 2 miles, 15 furlongs from Jerusalem. He took them out there. This is the place. Bethany is the place that Lazarus was raised from the dead. This is the place that the anointing oil was poured out on His feet as He was being anointed for burial, for His crucifixion. Any time that you read of Beth in the Bible, I told you names mean things. Beth means house or home. Bethany was known as the house of misery, a house of torment, a house of disaster. But later it became known as the house of figs. You see, there was palm trees that was planted there. The place that is your place of bitterness, your place of sorrow, your place of misery can also be turned into your place of sweetness. This is the place that He decided that I'm going to take my disciples. I'm going to speak to them and I'm going to bless them. And then I'm going to depart and go to my home in heaven. I see the parting. He blesses them. The Bible says that He lifted His hands and He blessed them. I don't know what He done other than what the Scriptures tells us. But He gave them a blessing. Now, I know I've been in different places and different times, and whenever I get ready to leave, and maybe I've been off to whenever I was younger and went off to school to try to get educated, and you know, by the time I got there, I thought I knew everything, and by the time I left, I realized I didn't know anything. The different times that I lived in Colorado or Arizona, and the places I've lived and the places I've worked, whenever I got ready to leave, it was not uncommon for the friends that I had made to give me a parting blessing. That's not uncommon. He gave them a parting blessing, a gift. I see here in verse number 52, it said, and they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Brother Isaac, they worshiped him on the way to church. How different would church service be today if everybody that was here this morning got up this morning with Jesus on their mind, worshiping Him on the way to church before we ever get to church? How different would service be today? They worshiped Him on the way to church, on the way back to Jerusalem. I could just imagine them if they was riding a donkey or a horse or maybe walking and just lifting their hands and praising and tears running down their face. People walking by, them people are crazy. When's the last time that you lifted your hands while you was driving down the road? Don't answer that honestly. We got a sheriff back there. Hey, it's all right if they pull you over and they think you're drunk. As long as you're drunk in the Spirit. I promise you, you'll pass a breathalyzer test. Just go ahead and worship Him. Just don't wreck. And then look in verse 53. This is really where I want to preach from this morning. And were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. It was a continual effort. They didn't just praise Him on Sunday morning, but they got a hold of something that it made a difference. They wanted to praise the Lord. They wanted to be in church. This wasn't something that they had to do. It wasn't something somebody was making them do. I want to serve God. I want to worship the Lord. A continual effort. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 3 says, "And I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Psalms 48 and 1 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and in the mountains of His holiness." Psalms 47 and verse 7, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." Psalms 135 and verse 3 said, "Praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant." 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 21 says, "And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord." Psalms 148 at beginning of verse 2 says, "Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His host. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, and praise ye stars of light. Praise Him, praise ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let the people praise Thee. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. O let not the oppressed return ashamed. And let the poor and the needy praise Thy name." I'll tell you what, I can stop right there and shout it out. Let the poor and the needy praise Your name. There is nobody that is not worthy to praise His name. The devil will try to tell you that you're not worthy, that you're not high enough. And every person, man, boy, child, it doesn't matter. There's no age requirement. Praise His name. The devil told me for years that you're not old enough. You're just a child. You're out of order. You're out of line. Let me tell you what, the devil is a liar. These children can praise the Lord. The grown-ups can praise the Lord. I'm sure he's told some of you that you're too old to praise the Lord. You're never too old to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, let them that exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. This one here's for you, Sister Tanya. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Can you believe there's churches that tells you that that is not in order? You're out of line when you lift up your hands. I'm reading to you out of the Bible. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. This was a psalm of David when he was had changed his behavior before Abimelech. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and praise shall continually be in my mouth. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalms 150 tells us, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary and praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts and praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet and praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance and praise him with the stringed instrument and the organs and praise him upon the loud cymbals and praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. For all of you that don't like drums, it's in the Bible. Praise him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That David said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise unto thee. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. He is worthy to be praised. That's his word. Continually, they were praising. You know, I realize that some of you never quit praising the Lord because you never started. Several years ago, it's happened more than once. We would have individuals that would come to our church, and I watch things. And we had one particular individual that would come, and he would be here maybe once every 6 months, once every year. Sometimes he'd get really, really enthused, and he might come here twice a year. But when he come, he was on fire. I mean, he would shout the house down. Some of y'all seen some of what I've seen, haven't you? And then I wouldn't see him again for 6 months. He'd come back and he was just on fire again. And Brother Virgil, that bothered me. I hate to tell you, but it really did. It bothered me. We got people that come to the house of God continually, go through struggles, go through trials, And here he shows up, and man, he's on fire, and he's got a blessing from the Lord, and it just don't seem fair. You understand me? I had a problem with that. Lord, I'm faithful. I don't miss a service. I come anytime the doors are open. I'm here. I'm lifting my hands. I'm worshiping. I'm playing. I'm singing. I'm worshiping. I'm blessing your name. I'm doing everything in my power to give you honor and the glory. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, that man, he only comes once every 6 months, and I've got to give him all that he needs because he's not going to be back. You see, I don't know what he's going through in the 6 months that he's not here. He's going through some trials. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather just stay in the house continually. Worship him and praise him. If you're here today and you're saved, you got something to praise the Lord about. You got something to bless him about. If you're here this morning and your family is saved, you've got something to be thankful for. If you're in church today, you've got something to be thankful for. If he has healed you from cancer, you've got something to be thankful for. You don't have a reason to sit there and to not lift your hands and not say anything. You've got every right in the world to be thankful for. If you're not laying on the bed of affliction in a hospital room somewhere, you've got everything in the world to be thankful for this morning. We've got a church house that is almost packed out this morning. We've got a lot to be thankful for today at the house of prayer. We've got a spirit in this place that not all churches have. We've got a right to thank him today. He's worthy of all of our praise. The problem is today is people, they want to take a blessing, but they don't want to give anything in return. Brings up a good question. How do you give God, a God that has everything? If he wants something, he can speak it into existence. How do you give and bless God that has everything and wants and lacks nothing? Can I give you just a little bit of an example? I'm going to step down here where I can talk to you. You know, my mind went back whenever I was just a child. I know Donna and Devon probably remember this. But at Christmas time, do you remember Mom and Dad taking us to the store? I didn't have a job. Devon didn't have a job. We didn't work. We didn't have no money to buy anything. But I can remember Mom and Dad giving us some money. And said, now here, kids, I want you to go buy Christmas. They wasn't giving me $5 or whatever it was to go buy me something. They was blessing me so that I could bless them. And you might say, well, really, they was just buying their own Christmas. Technically, yes. But that's the way our Heavenly Father is. He woke me up today. He gave me breath in my lungs. He's blessed me with a family. He's blessed me with health. He's blessed me with knowledge. He's blessed me with the wonderful friends and family and church. God has been so good to me. He didn't have to, but he did. And why did he do it? So I could turn around and bless him. I have every right to bless God because he blessed me. He's blessed me with the fullness of his Spirit. He's blessed me with the assurance of heaven. God did not have to, but he did. You may say, well, you're just being radical. No, I can never praise him enough. I read to you in Scripture, David said that his praise shall continually be in my mouth. If I praise him from now to the end of eternity, it will never be enough. If he saved your soul, you have every right to praise him. The most precious gift that he could ever give was he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary. Some looked at it as a curse to be hung on an old rugged cross. But his curse, the place of misery, turned into a place of blessing. I hate it that he had to hang and die. But I'm thankful that he did. Because he lives, Brother Virgil, I can face tomorrow. And if you're here today and you haven't received the greatest blessing that a person can receive, the gift of salvation. What are you saying? I'm saying whenever he blesses you. You know, I have yet to see somebody ever receive the gift of salvation. Come to an altar of repentance. Repent of their sins and ask Jesus Christ into their heart and life. I've yet to see one individual that gets up from the altar that does not praise him. Why? Because he blessed them. It is beyond your power of self-control to not bless him.